during Dov's minute, a quick class on the blessing of Ahava Rabba. Now, the blessing of Ahava Rabba, it seems from Talmud, was actually one of the first blessings that were ever compiled, because it seems that this was the original blessing on learning Torah. The way the Talmud words it is, if you didn't say Ahava Rabba, or if you're going to wake up early and learn Torah before prayer, so then you make the blessing on learning Torah. It seems the Talmud's understanding was that this blessing is the blessing on learning Torah. The blessing of Ahava Rabba precedes the reading of Shema, which is the part of Torah which is biblical that we say every day within our prayer. So it's logical that you'll have the blessing of Torah just before the biblical part of Torah you have to say every day, right? Shema Yisrael is what you have to biblically say every day. The blessing of Ahava Rabba dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Shagas Aryeh, among many commentaries, is of the opinion that the blessing on learning Torah is biblical. Shulchan Aruch does not go that way. Shulchan Aruch says only Birkat HaMazon is biblical, only the after blessing on food. But from the Talmud, it's not so obvious that the blessing on learning Torah is not biblical, and you have those opinions. One of the more well-known one is the Shagat Aryeh, that's a responsa that was written after the Shulchan Aruch, and he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He holds the blessing on learning Torah is biblical. So now we're going to study Ahava Rabba. It's interesting to note that the blessing of Ahava Rabba directly precedes Shema. And as we will see, the blessing of Ahava Rabba speaks about Hashem's great love for us in giving us the Torah, and our hope that Hashem will again shine His light on us and bring us back to the land of Israel. In Shema, which directly follows the blessing, our focus is on our responsibility to love Hashem. Vavtat Hashem Elokecha, love Hashem, do His mitzvot, bind your actions, bind your thoughts to the dedication to Hashem. So Shema Yisrael focuses on man's responsibility towards heaven. Our sages instituted a blessing that precedes Shema, which reminds us how much Hashem loves us. That always takes me. And one final note of introduction. About 20 years ago, I visited a Jew who was sitting Shiva on his father. And in conversation there, I was a kid. I was just paying attention to what was going on. I was a teenager, right? And he mentioned that when he looks for a minion, he looks for a minion that says Ahava Rabba slowly, because out of all of prayer, Ahava Rabba is the one blessing that he likes to say slowly, word by word, because it's such a rich blessing. And just hearing him make that comment 20 years ago changed my whole perspective on Ahava Rabba, that he looks for a minion where he can say this blessing slowly. Ever since then, I started paying attention to this blessing. This is really a unique and special blessing, especially if you think about the idea that this blessing might date back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's begin. Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Some say Ahavat Olam, either a great or eternal love. Hashem, You have loved us. Chemla Gedola V'Yitrachamanta Aleinu. You have an extraordinary, exceptional compassion over us. Sentence one. Now sentence two. And it's important to notice that they're separate sentences. So sentence one is a declaration. Hashem, You love us. Sentence two. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. It says they were praying and praying and it wouldn't rain until Rabbi Akiva went down before the ark and said, one Avinu Malkeinu. And then it started pouring down. Then they realized that using that form of prayer, saying Avinu Malkeinu, pointing out that duality in our relationship with Hashem, both our Father and our King, that's so powerful. Then they compiled this whole long Avinu Malkeinu we say today. So here we see that Avinu Malkeinu also made it into this blessing. It's a very potent form of prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Ba'avur avotenu shebatechu v'chava tenamdeim chukei chayim, kein techoneinu utenamedeinu. That's the second sentence. Our Father, our King, for the sake of our fathers who had faith in You and You taught them the statutes of life, so too You should have compassion over us and teach us. We view Torah as something that is given by Hashem every day. Our blessing on Torah is Baruch Atah Hashem Noten HaTorah, Hashem who is repeatedly giving Torah. We say when we take out the Torah from the Ark, so you take it out on your right shoulder and you give it over to the Chazan into his right hand. We are replicating the receipt of Torah from Sinai. Just like Mimi no esh dat lamo, just as it says in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, Hashem gave the Torah, so to speak, from his right hand to Moshe's right hand. The guy who's taking the Torah out of the Ark is doing like Hashem, giving it to the Chazan who's like Moshe. And then we take it to the Bima, and that's supposed to be like Sinai. And the guy who's reading the Torah is like the Ten Commandments. He's representing the giving of Torah to Am Yisrael. That's a good question. That's a Kabbalistic concept, not for now. Why right is so important. So here we're saying, so too Hashem, you should teach us. Because we view it as an ongoing process. Hashem is still teaching us. It's not over. We say you need special siyata d'shmaya, assistance from above to succeed in Torah. So we ask Hashem, teach us. So that's sentence number two. Notice the format of the sentences. That was one of the reasons I wanted us to take a few minutes to analyze this. It's for the sake of our forefathers, so too you should teach us. Period. You will see that that format keeps repeating itself here. You say, for the sake of something, you should do something. End of idea. Sometimes people think that the ba'avur goes back on the previous sentence. That for the sake of, you're saying, what I've asked you should be for the sake of. No. You're saying, for the sake of this, you should please do that. For the sake of our forefathers, you should have compassion over us and teach us. So that's sentence number two. Sentence number three. Avinu, our father, Ha'av Rachamon, the merciful father, the merciful father, Hamirachem, the one who is the compassionate one, Rachem Aleinu, have compassion over us, V'tein b'libeinu lehavin ulhaskil, and place within our hearts to understand, to have insights, lishmoa, to listen, to hear, to obey, lilmod, to learn, ulilamed, and to teach, lishmo, to adhere, vilasot, and to perform, ulkayem, and to fulfill, et kol divrei talmud toratecha, all the words of your learning Torah, be'ahava, out of love. What a sentence. Here you see it's the blessing on Torah. Again, our Father, the merciful one, the Father, have mercy over us and give it within our hearts to understand, to perceive, to hear, to learn, to teach, to observe, to adhere, to instill all the words of your Torah out of love. Notice the word love repeating itself in this blessing. Notice how the blessing revolves around positive emotion. Rachamim, ahava. Veha'er einenu b'toratecha. Lighten up our eyes with your Torah. V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvotecha. And have our hearts connect with your mitzvot. Where else do we pray for this? Dabek libeinu b'mitzvotecha. Let our hearts connect with your mitzvot. V'yached levaveinu le'ahava ulirat shemecha v'lo nevosh l'olam va'ed. And let our hearts singularly love and fear your name. And then we won't be embarrassed for eternity. Why? Because it's very hard to attain such a level of yichud lev, of a singular heart. Meaning we can serve Hashem out of duplicity. That we're good at. I can serve Him, and then when I go home and I gorge my face out in apple pie or who knows what, so then I've left Hashem in shul or in the base medrash. You know, it's part of the Far Eastern culture. They say it's not called lying. You behave differently when you're with your parents and with your friends and with your boss and with your preacher. Different people. You behave differently in front of them. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that our hearts should be unified in His service. It should be all of me that's serving you, Hashem. There shouldn't be any part of me that says, I'm doing something else. Now, V'yached levaveinu, let our hearts singularly love and fear your name. And then we won't be embarrassed for eternity. You know, you're in the middle of a fight, and you answer the phone, you go, yeah. And suddenly it's your boss, suddenly it's your Rebbe. Oh, you're all embarrassed. Wait a second. Why are you all embarrassed? If that's a legitimate behavior, so it's a legitimate. If it's not a legitimate behavior, it doesn't matter who's on the other end of the line. You know, we discovered in our house when we moved in a year and a half ago that the acoustics are such, I don't know how to explain this, but the acoustics in our living room work in a way that when you talk in the living room, on the sidewalk outside the house, it sounds like you're standing next to the person talking to them. So I could be walking outside and I could hear everything that's going on in the house like someone standing next to me talking to me. Now that's very scary. You're in your own living room and you don't know who's listening to you outside on the sidewalk. And there's a distance of about 15 meters. I don't know how the acoustics are set up that way, but that's the way it is, factually. You stand outside and sounds like... I discovered this because I was walking and I suddenly hear my wife talking. I'm looking around. Where is she? I thought I just left her at home. And it sounds like she's standing right next to me talking. Okay. So initially, my first reaction when we moved into the house was to close those windows. Right? Then I said to myself, no, learn to behave. You shouldn't be saying things in your living room you wouldn't want to be saying outside on the street. You know, it's a good lesson. Okay, not everything you say at home should be on the street,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But
Yachid Levavenu. So again, lighten up our eyes in your Torah, attach our hearts to your mitzvot. Help our hearts have singularity in their love and fear of your name, Hashem, so we will not be embarrassed for eternity. Wow. And here... The question here is, how do you place the words Lo'olam Va'ed? Does Lo'olam Va'ed go on the request or on the embarrassment? Meaning in Hebrew, a modifier is not necessarily going on the words it's adjacent to. So even though the words for eternity appear after the words embarrassed, I shouldn't be embarrassed, that doesn't mean that that's what it's going on. In Hebrew we have it a lot, where the modifier can... So it could be going on, enlighten our eyes, connect our hearts,
okay,
have...
That's not my question. I understand the question there. Is the embarrassment eternal? I understand that question. My question is, what does it mean to be embarrassed? What's the busha that we're talking about?
So I think the busha is if I am not singular in my connection to Hashem. So I have a part of me that's doing something else. So that's where there's room to be embarrassed. If we were really truthful, so then that's not being truthful.
In the next world, you'll realize you missed the opportunity and you'll feel embarrassed. That's where the connection maybe I thought could be to Yaakov in that thing that we said. If his descendants are behaving, maybe things like... Could have done something differently. Who knows?
I think about it, understand it a little better. I think it's saying that, if to be singularly, our hearts to singularly serve Him, or however it was worded, it means to constantly be aware, to constantly be in awe of Hashem around, because Hashem is always around. But if you're serving Him in duplicity, then whether we're at the proper level or not, or at the proper level of awareness, we should be embarrassed we should be embarrassed about the times that we're serving in duplicity.
I agree. You know, the best example of that is the internet. You know, a person sits on the internet and suddenly forgets there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Would you be doing that if you had someone looking over your shoulder? Someone you respect? Someone who respects you? If your five-year-old was looking over your shoulder, if your mother was looking over your shoulder, your Rebbe was looking over your shoulder, would you be doing that? I bet the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking over your shoulder.
It's like guilty sensible, you know, like on the level. It's not like you say, you know, you I mean, for me, I run into the issue. I actually spoke about it with my adoptive family last night. That sometimes I'm more afraid of my commander than I am of Hashem.
Because for sure.
My commander's there to punish me immediately when I'm out of line. My commander, you know. So Hashem, you know, to what degree am I sensing Hashem? You know, not seeing him. I could speak to him. I could say words to him. But is he saying words back to me? Is he there to approve of or criticize my behavior or my thoughts or my anything at the moment?
So
even on Yom Kippur, am I sensing his judgment?
Agreed. So firstly, the Gemara says like you. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan, I think, was on his deathbed, he told the students, you should fear Hashem like you fear your fellow man. And you see, that was the generation of Tanoim. And he said, you see, when a person does something wrong, he looks over his shoulder, he says, no one should see me. What about their bone shalom? So you see, that is a weakness we all have. And we addressed it at length. The Magen Midvanah has a large section on this, why this is so, and how we contend with it. Yeah, in the beginning of Sefer Amidot, yeah.
Here? They say eternity. I mean, you know, here, I mean, there's always the opportunity for tshuva, for improving, whatever. But in eternity, what you've built of yourself is who you are.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
It could be, if we're going to go on the words lo'lam va'ed as referencing lo nevosh, then I would think the message is a little different. It's along the lines of what you're saying. But I think maybe it's stressing the idea that the repercussions are long-term. Meaning that, why is it that a person allows himself the leeway to have this duplicity? It's because he's not thinking of the long-term. If a person were thinking of the long-term, then his behavior would reflect that. But we're not. Right now, I feel like doing this. I feel like wasting my time. I feel like being on the internet. I feel like eating. It has nothing to do with long-term. And that reminder of lo nevosh lo lam va'ed is a reminder of the wait. What am I? I'm going something futile and passing for something eternal. It could be the stress.
But don't have an actual concept of the gravity of that, of the eternal aspect of the choice. And not only that, even if you've experienced an iota of what it really is in the past, if you're not feeling it at the moment, it's a matter of training yourself. Just saying, you want to know what? You have to have yourself a routine in a way.
Agreed.
And that's where the challenge comes from, it's just where the challenge is.
Kibalti?
It's part of the point here. It's part of the point.
It's about your level, too, because the apple pie, the third healthy, okay, that's where you're holding, you rationalize it, maybe different than, you know, other things which are worse, and, you know, when Hashem holds maybe for one.
But if that's what your level is, it's irrelevant. If everything is relative, then the point is, the challenge is the challenge.
You work your way up. You can't be at the top level tomorrow. You work your way up. No one got there in a day. Moshe Rabbeinu started his career at age 80. It's a lot of preparation. Okay, yeah. His career. When did he start leading Am Yisrael? At 80 years old. Okay, so he prepared for 80 years. You know, we work our way up. Ki v'shem katshecha, and here again, the word ki is not referencing the previous sentence, but it's referencing the future. Because ki v'shem katshecha gadol v'anora batachnu, because we have faith in your great and holy and awesome name, because of that, nagila v'nismecha b'shuatecha, we will ultimately rejoice and be happy in your salvation. So, here again, you see, it's focused forward. Because of this, we'll be that. Because we have confidence in your great and holy name, that's why we will rejoice and be happy in your salvation.
Granting us our requests to teach us and have us understand and to be connected with Torah and everything we said up until now is the primary source of true
I don't know. We could say that. If that's what it's saying here, I don't know. Okay. I think the line in the tefillah over here is referencing what we see throughout Tehillim and in the Nevi'im as well, that those who have bitachon in Hashem will ultimately be the ones who will be happy.
Right,
and we saw that in Yeshayahu earlier also.
But at the same time, if you're experiencing Judaism, Torah...
I'm sorry, it's a totally different concept. He's not talking about happiness today. He's talking about Yeshuatecha, when the ultimate salvation comes. And it becomes very clear that Hashem is running the world. So then who will be able to partake of the happiness of that salvation? Those who led a life that was reflective of a true connection to the idea of I had bitachon, b'shem katshecha gadol v'anuva batachnu. It's not a reference to today.
This is a long-term thing that you said.
Yes, so we're aspiring, we're asking Hashem, through your Torah, help us connect, through your mitzvot, help us connect, so that we will ultimately have le'ahava u'lirat shemecha. We will have love and fear of your name. Let us connect to you. Because if we do have faith in your great name, then we know we will also partake of the great salvation and happiness. Vavienu l'shalom. And this line requires a lot of work. Because how does this come in over here? Suddenly, Eretz Yisrael. And bring us in peace from the four corners of the land and lead us upright to our land. Vavienu l'shalom ha'abakan fotatze toruchen komiut la'atzenu. So this line needs work. We're out of time. We'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time. Remind me. We're up to the last two lines of the last three lines of the prayer.